Signal is a podcast by the Bucks County Beacon. I'm your host and the Beacon's editor-in-chief, Cyril McGlaco. Twice a month, we'll use this space to shine a light on the right-wing extremist currents streaming through Bucks County and beyond. We'll talk to guests who will help listeners navigate these perilous political waters by providing insight, analysis, and organizing solutions so that we can steer the community toward calmer, saner, progressive routes. Natalie Venezia is the executive director of the 365 Foundation, which promotes women's empowerment through art, advocacy, and community service. As a local key figure in the feminist movement, Natalie is at the forefront of the foundation's efforts to empower women and promote gender equality. Through strategic partnerships with local organizations and a steadfast commitment to advocating for women's rights, the 365 Foundation is leaving a significant imprint on the Lansdale community by fostering a more inclusive and equitable society. As we wind down Women's History Month, I'm glad to welcome Natalie to the podcast to talk about our organization and how they are fighting for a better future for women and everyone else. Hi, Natalie. Welcome to The Signal.
Hi, Cyril. Thank you so much for having me today. I appreciate it.
So you have an interesting background. You've worked as a CEO and entrepreneur in industries ranging from law to hospitality to media and entertainment. But you've also been long engaged with social justice, feminism, diversity, and inclusion. How did you first start down this more activist advocacy path?
Well, you're right. I have always had a day job, as you can say, but I have always been passionate about women's rights, especially. I was raised by a single mom who had breast cancer when I was just a baby. And I watched her struggle and go through a relationship where she was a victim of domestic violence. And that really shaped me, watching her escape that situation and put herself through school, went on to start her own women's performance group that actually performed for Bill Clinton at the White House. She is also an English professor. So I've had a mom who really was a feminist at heart. And so growing up with her shaped me. And so it was always something that I wanted to do. Up until recently, I have been working, like you said, as a CEO of a company in Allentown. And I am approaching my 52nd birthday. And that really has, you know, it really made me take some time to think about what I was doing, what I wanted to leave behind as far as a legacy for my daughter, and what was going on in the world and the things that I was watching occur as far as women's rights and where we are now as opposed to where we were in 1848, and we're struggling for all the same things. And so that really has what led me to make a commitment to myself to be an activist 365 days a year, which is what I decided to name my organization after.
I love that. Yes. I mean, it does take that kind of commitment, daily commitment, in order to kind of foster change and protect our rights and our democracy. Now, like you said, you launched just last year in the fall the 365 Foundation in Lansdale, which you established to nurture, promote, defend, and empower women in your community. And it was also, the organization's also dedicated to awareness about social justice and diversity through the arts, community service, and partnerships with community organizations. Now, you had just mentioned that, you know, one of the reasons why you started this was just like you started kind of like reflecting about what kind of legacy that you wanted to leave behind you. But, you know, was there anything else, maybe like what you were seeing happening politically in the country, which kind of really pushed you to start this organization and to start it now?
That's a really good question. And yes, you know, the first attempt for women's rights began in New York in July 1848. At that time, women were fighting for the right to vote, economic and educational inequities. In 1847, abortion was banned, and it wasn't until 1973 when abortion rights became protected. So now it's 2024, and I'm seeing what women across the world are going through, women in the country, women in my neighborhood, women that I know. We're still fighting for equal pay and equity. As a matter of fact, today on March 26th, we are watching the Supreme Court hear arguments on a case that could roll back the availability of the abortion pill nationwide. So, you know, just watching and seeing what is happening in the world is it's time to use my voice. It's time to encourage other women to use their voices, which is really the core of the 365 Foundation. Also, just knowing in the past 40 years, the number of women incarcerated has jumped by 400%. And 60% of those women that are in prison are victims of domestic violence. So it's very important for me to try to educate our communities. I believe that change starts here. It starts at home. And we need to support women in prison. We need to support our sisters that are there and struggling with menstrual equity and human basic rights. And so I feel like if I don't say something or do something and use my privilege, I'm not leaving the legacy and I'm not leaving the world behind for my daughter and my grandchildren, that I can say at least I said something.
Why do you think we're seeing this backlash right now, this what could be described as a war on women after we've seen kind of advances over the last 100 years?
Well, I believe that there are more women who are aware than ever. There are more feminists more than ever that believe that women are equal, not the same, but equal, and should afford their equal, you know, we should afford them their equal pay and equal opportunities. Social media is a big play in that. Women can now communicate more than they ever have. We're not sitting in quilting bee circles anymore. We have ways to communicate, ways to spread the word, ways to share our stories and our voices. And in doing so, now, you know, there is a backlash. There are, you know, just as we are equally able to spread information, people who disagree with our attempts are able to do what they want to combat that. I think also just the incredible success of women in our country and what we are doing compared to our counterparts. If you want to hear my honest answer, it's because women are kicking ass.
So how have you been welcomed and received in the community? Have you faced any blowback with your organization?
Well, you know, we haven't. Again, that's a really good question. We have not received any blowback, but I think that's because we've only had our first event in February. You know, things have been kind of quiet here. We're in the prep phase for what we're planning on doing. But we have received a lot of support from the mayor, from Representative Steve Malagari, from State Senator Maria Collette. Everyone has, you know, reposted us on Facebook, on our social media. They have visited us personally. They've come to our grand opening. The mayor himself wrote an article about how important it is to support organizations like the 365. So we've been very privileged. I know that there are a lot of nonprofit organizations in our area of different causes, but organizations that are closing, you know, or struggling financially, who are not, you know, necessarily receiving the same support that we are. So we do feel really privileged. And with that, we also include in our mission statement and our core that we are here to support other nonprofits. It's not just about us and our cause. We want to open our space and provide that for free to nonprofits who want to do fundraising or if we can help them with marketing. So, you know, there's power in numbers and we're all after really the same thing, just change for the better. So we're sharing, you know, the support we're getting with other nonprofits locally as well.
Could you unpack a little more about, you know, what you had just kind of talked about? Like the question I had for you was, you know, on the website, it says join the movement. Mm-hmm. So how do you envision 365 as a catalyst for movement organizing and social change?
So the movement is not just about creating change. It's about reshaping our communities. It's about reshaping our society and using our voices to do so. I truly believe that by leveraging the power of art and community service, we can educate and create safe spaces for women to express themselves and advocate for equal rights. And that essentially is the movement.
Can you talk a little bit about some of the programs that you have coming up?
So right now, I'm very passionate about a few of the programs that we are initiating this month and in the coming months. One of the programs is called Painting with a Promise. That is really for the women in our community. We're opening the doors to women to take free art classes. We will have certified art therapists here to teach women how to paint. And we're hoping that women who are perhaps going through wellness issues or chemotherapy will be attracted to this program because we truly believe that the arts and music heal. I've watched it myself. When I had a double mastectomy a few years ago, I used art and music to be light in the darkness when I was very sick. And so I'm hoping, you know, I would have loved to have had something like this, you know, in my neighborhood. So I'm hoping that we're able to attract women who would like to join others in this amazing program. I'm also very passionate about Crossing Fences, which is our program that is going to be spearheaded by Amanda Knox. I'm not sure if you're familiar with her. She is somewhat infamous. She was a formerly incarcerated woman in a very well-known documented case. She is now an author and an advocate for helping women in prison. And she's going to be joining our advisory board to help us create a committee to research the needs of incarcerated women, as well as being the spokesperson for this initiative. And I'm really passionate about it because I feel that women in prison kind of get lost in the shuffle. They get lost in the system. Male prisons have access to libraries. They have access to iPads, where if you were to try to get in touch with a female inmate today, you would have a lot of difficulty. Also, things like menstrual equity. Rikers Prison, which is one of the prisons that we're possibly going to be working with, they have a shortage of feminine hygiene products. Women are forced to create their own. So we want to get involved in educating our community and hopefully getting donations to help women just have human basic rights. And so I'm very proud of and excited about who's involved in this project and the programs that we're trying to develop. I spoke to a woman today at Rikers Prison who is going to help us create these programs and get access to inmates there that could possibly also join the committee in helping us create data and information about the unique struggles and needs of women that are incarcerated.
That's great. Let's have a little fun with this next question. It's Women's History Month, as you know.
Yes.
And you're tasked with organizing a symposium to talk about this current moment in women's history and how to create a more liberating future for women. What three women, either alive or from history, would you invite to this and why?
Three women from history.
Or it could be from someone right now. Who you would want to be part of this symposium?
Well, I would say Joan of Arc, Sister Cabrini, and my mom.
That's great. So I take it you're Catholic?
I am not Catholic, but I was raised Catholic. If my grandmother heard this, God rest her soul, because she was a devout Catholic. But Sister Cabrini is someone that is very inspirational to me. Not only was she an entrepreneur like myself, I'm not comparing the two of us at all, but she's easily relatable to me because she was a businesswoman, but she also then committed her life to helping others. I will never get to any point that she or any goals that she reached, but she's an inspiration to all women to help others and to stand your ground, just like Joan of Arc and my mom.
That's great. And then also, you know, what types of writers or which writers, podcasts or publications do you turn to for information and inspiration?
So I actually, there is a group called Reform, and they are a women's advocacy group as well. And they primarily, they do not have any other programs aside from helping women who are in prison. I turn to them for information, to educate myself. Also, we have several local people who had been incarcerated that I turn to. One of the men that is in our board, he was incarcerated. One of the artists that we just had, Christina Bovano, she was incarcerated. So they really help me with their lived experiences. They are so valuable to me because they can tell me really what it was like and what the needs were. And they've been a huge part of this journey for me thus far. So I have a lot of people that have lived experiences that I have access to on a daily basis, and then also groups that I look to online and on Instagram. You know, we're so lucky though to have actual personal interactions with people that can guide us every day.
Fantastic. And then finally, how can people get involved with 365?
Well, they can go to www.365.foundation. On our website, we have different ways that they can be involved as far as sponsoring our podcast. We'll be launching a podcast called In the Pink in May, which is celebrating women and local women also outside our community, like Amanda Knox. Amanda Knox will be our first guest. We're shooting that episode next Friday. And also volunteering. You know, we look to grants and fundraising to, you know, keep us up and running. But volunteers are really what we need the most. Men and women who support our cause can find out how to volunteer on our website. And yeah, we would definitely like to promote that on this platform, that volunteers is something that we're really looking for at this time.
Great. Well, thanks so much for coming on. I'm both excited and impressed with what you and, you know, the team at the 365 Foundation have been able to accomplish so far. And, you know, we at the Bucks County Beacon look forward to covering what you will do in the future. So, Natalie, thanks again for coming on.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it, Cyril. This has been a pleasure. Thank you.
This has been The Signal, a podcast by the Bucks County Beacon. I'm Cyril McGlaco, editor-in-chief and host. For more progressive news, analysis, and opinion from Bucks County and beyond, go to www.buckscountybeacon.com.